Chapter 3. Exemplars of the Imperium. Zerberin ran at the orc, blocking the companionway down to the Enginarium, bowling it over the railing and into the churning machinery below. He fired into the face of the one behind, blasting the back of its skull apart. Vaulting over its tumbling corpse, he buried his chainsword in the head of a third. A burst of heavy bolter shots felled three bigger orcs coming up the steps.
"There it is!" Vox Sergeant Solomon Tor. "I have the Xenos mechanician in sight!"
Runes flickered over Zerberin's faceplate. A red signum dot pulsed on the miniature cartograph of the spaceship's interior. The orc commander was in a large room, suspended above the thundering ship's engines.
"Squad Tor, follow!"
he ordered. Squealing orc slaves scattered before him. He did not waste his ammunition on them, and they died under his boots. He rounded a corner to see a heavy blast door grinding into place. His hand went to his belt and came away empty. His last melter bomb had been spent three bulkheads back.
"Melter!" he called.
Space Marines clattered down the stairs behind him, taking up fire positions along the rickety safety rail. Their weapons panned back and forth, laser targeters gleaming in the dark.
"Melter!"
Zerberin called again, his patience gone. Brother Rossdane shoved his way down the stairs, banging into the backs of his brothers in his haste.
"Here, First Captain!"
His plain unmarked armour was covered in dark orc blood, bright grooves scratched into the surface where enemy fire had been deflected.
"Burn us a way in!" Zerberin ordered. "Squad Tor, firing lines!"
He took a step back as Rossdane adjusted the focal length of the melter and levelled the slotted muzzle of the gun at the door. The rest of his squad formed up, bolters level. The fetid atmosphere of the orc hulk shimmered in front of the melter gun. Then, with a whooshing roar, the door burst into flame. Thick gobbets of burning steel ran from the breach, draining in lethal drips through the mesh of the catwalk. The bright spot of heat spread until the whole of the door glowed white. All of a sudden it collapsed wetly, spraying sparks and droplets of molten metal.
"Fire!"
shouted Zerberin. His warriors let loose together, sending a barrage of bolts through the door before the smoke of its destruction had cleared. Zerberin leapt through.
"Follow the First Captain!" shouted Sergeant Tor.
They emerged into a storm of bullets. Rounds screamed off Zerberin's armour in a blaze of sparks. Orcs came out of the smoke and dark, and he cut them down. Behind them was a huge, squat-bodied orc engineer, the mockery of a space marine servo harness attached to its back. Bolt guns barked around him, felling the Xenos, a Zerberin charged to attack. This fleet's strange vessels and bizarre weaponry were the creations of this monster. He was the lord of the Armada. Kill him, and what little cohesion the force had would collapse. There was no point, Zerberin realized. They had chased him from his bridge. He was cornered. They could have set the charges and left. The orcs lacked the organization they had shown only weeks ago, but he wanted to kill it. He needed to. It raised a blocky pistol and fired. A round as big as a human fist punched a fresh dent into Zerberin's plastron and knocked him off his feet. A tall orc reared over him, a growling chain axe raised over its head. Before it could strike, its chest blew out and it fell down dead. Zerberin recovered and got back to his feet, bolt pistol spitting. His rounds smacked into an energy field surrounding the orc engineer and exploded harmlessly. It bared its massive yellow fangs at him and raised its weapon. Zerberin dodged, taking a hit on the greave as he dived aside. The strength of the weapon was so great, the plate buckled. On his faceplate, a warning rune blinked. A tiny schematic of his armour flickered up, his lower left leg glowing amber. The orc mechanic roared. The last of its bodyguard died, blown apart by seven simultaneous bolt hits. Squad Tor trained their weapons on the engineer, advancing on it as they fired. The creature's energy shield flared under the strain and gave out with a bang. Zerberin jumped at it, his sword swinging. The orc roared and hammered down with the whirring attachments of its harness. Zerberin parried one with the flat of his blade and sheared the other away. Black oil pumped from the harness's hydraulics. The orc swung its pistol around. Like so many of its monstrous kind, its strength was undone by sluggishness, and Zerberin chopped hard, separating its hand from its body. Howling in outrage, the orc threw itself at Zerberin, bearing them both to the floor. Zerberin's bolt gun was knocked from his grasp. His chainsword was no use, and he dropped it to grapple with the monster. His eye lenses filled with the slavering jaws of the orc as it bit furiously at his face. His fingers slipped on waxy skin. The thing grabbed him around the throat and squeezed. The pressure was immense, crushing his neck through his soft seal. Zerberin scrabbled for his combat knife. He unsheathed it, fought it past the orc's flailing stump. The orc batted at his hand. Ivory fangs snapped on his forearm. With muscle-cracking effort, Zerberin bucked under the creature, shifting it enough to drive the point of his blade into its eye. The orc mechanician continued to roar for a second. Zerberin saw his death in its face, but then the light went out in its remaining eye, and it slumped. His brothers heaved the dead beast off him. Sergeant Tor extended a hand. "Have you worked out your anger, brother captain?" he said. "What's your tone, brother?" said Zerberin. He allowed himself to be hauled back up. "Perhaps you're still in need of battle," said Tor. "But we're done here and should leave." "I thank you for letting me slay the beast alone," he said. "A worthy opponent," said Tor. "Your orders first, captain. Cripple the engine. Crack, melter gun, anything we have left." Zerberin opened a line to the other Fist's exemplar upon the ship. He scrolled through the icons of the five squads. Most were green, a couple tending to amber. Casualties were light. "The ship's captain is dead. All squads fall back to extraction point. Hail Shipmaster Makarian. We're returning to the Dantalion." Zerberin ran into the orc hangar, a wide metal hole haphazardly floored by welded plates, shielded from the void with a buzzing yellow integrity field. Two squads waited by the Thunderhawks, Aegis of Alcazar and Pride of Oriax, snapping off disciplined volleys of fire into the corridors leading into the bay. The transports faced inward, away from the freedom of space, their front and rear ramps down. Their cheek-mounted heavy bolters twitched, lest any orc be foolish enough to come around their fronts. Orcs fired sporadically from the gallery circling the bay, but they were few and quickly fell to grenades and missiles when they showed their faces. Mounds of green-skinned dead choked the hangar doors. His warrior's guns zeroed in on Zerberin as he thundered back into the bay, followed by squads Tor and Nubius, held a moment, then tracked away to find other targets.
"Odrazar, we leave as soon as the others join us," Zerberin ordered his pilot. "Begin preparations to depart now."
As soon as the order was given, the Thunderhawks came to life, their engines thrumming in anticipation of flight. The deck vibrated at their awakening. Communications crackled in through his helmet vox. Squad Escoban reported that the shield generators had been destroyed. Squad Rodrian that the main reactor was rigged to explode. Zerberin and his squads joined the firing line of the raiding party rearguard and awaited their comrades. They soon came. Squad Escoban first, two brothers hauling their wounded sergeant between them, four more covering each other in pairs. Fire, retreat, cover, fire, retreat, cover, fire. Zerberin selected their squad icon in his suit's faceplate. It was tending from green to amber. It expanded, pushing out squad-level detail for the rest of his task force and listing the brothers individually. Nine had set out, seven returned. Rodrian came next. Their squad marker was red. Only four of eight remained. All were wounded.
"Board the transports!" shouted Zerberin.
The 19 warriors already with him raised their weapons. Squads Rodrian and Escoban ran past. Sergeant Escoban dragged up the ramp, leaving a trail of rapidly clotting blood. The orcs came after them. There were dozens as opposed to hundreds. Their numbers thinned, but they were still dangerous. Many were lesser varieties of the orc technical class, while others wore massive harnesses covered in an unlikely array of guns. They flooded onto the deck, brandishing bizarre energy weapons that they wasted no time in using. A beam of searing ruby light pulsed out, neatly bisecting Brother Erkin. Another dead. 12 warriors lost in this battle alone.
"Kill them all!" roared Zerberin.
He needn't have expended his breath. His brothers were already responding, riddling the orc crew with mass reactive fire. The Thunderhawk's anti-personnel weapons opened up, stitching so many lines of light across the hangar that Zerberin found it hard to see Pride of Oriax from his position at the foot of Aegis of Alcazar's front ramp. So many orcs were hit that their atomized flesh misted the air. The walls were repainted dark red.
Squad Tor, board!
Ordered Zerberin. Tor led his men aboard Pride of Oriax, two of them covering the rest as they thundered around to the front of their craft and up the assault ramp. Beams of barely focused light and small hissing rockets scored the hull as the door swung shut. One impacted inside. A flash and a jet of fire suppressant, then the hatch was shut, and the Pride of Oriax was lifting off, engines in rocket mode, blasting out blades of blue-white fire. Its blunt rear penetrated the crude integrity field with an electric crackle, and it was away into the void, swinging about, all engines engaging, and racing away from the flagship. The orcs fell back, sniping at the Fist's exemplar from the doorways and gallery. A las cannon blast slammed into the roof of the Aegis of Alcazar, bringing down a shard of molten ceramite and calling forth the voice of a toxin from inside. Another of Zerberin's brothers fell, a smoking hole punched through his face. The others bore the hail of bullets and micro-missiles stoically, firing calmly back.
"Evacuate!" ordered Zerberin.
His men broke their line and pounded up the ramp. Zerberin was last aboard, still firing outward as the Thunderhawk's ramp closed. His warriors set themselves into their flight restraints. Zerberin pushed past them, up into the rear compartment and onto the flight deck. Odrazar and his co-pilot were strobed by the light of gunfire flashing through the canopy. Bolt rounds continued to chug from the forward mounts, dismembering orcs foolish enough to chance the bay again.
"Captain,"
Odrazar acknowledged Zerberin.
"Brother, time to leave."
Aegis of Alcazar reared up and back. The roar of the engines outdid the crackle and boom of the orc's strange weaponry. Sailing backwards, it breached the integrity field and turned away, running along the side of the orc ship. Gunfire blasted from multiple mounts, forcing Odrazar to jink between their streams of shells and energy. All was silent. The void brought peace. The orc ship vented its fury voicelessly. The rumble of the craft and the quiet conversations of active machines filled the cockpit. Odrazar banked around and opened up the engines to maximum, and the flagship fell away behind them. Buruk's world rolled into view, its marbled clouds and seas stained with the black smoke of worldwide fire. Buruk's world was yet another nowhere planet beset by the greenskins. They attacked indiscriminately, invading whatever place they happened across. The world had little strategic significance for either orcs or humans, but Zerberin would gladly fight them wherever they were. The opportunity for resupply the battle presented was a secondary consideration to him. He wished only to slay orcs.
"There is an energy spike on the orc flagship, Captain,"
the Thunderhawk's co-pilot said. Zerberin went to the ship's operations desk. With his backpack on, he could not sit in its empty chair, but he keyed the display, selecting the Thunderhawk's aft augers. The orc flagship was a brute of a thing, with a prow as blunt as an orc's jaw, welded to a long, rickety body that gave it the overall appearance of a predatory oceanic life form. When the Fist's exemplar had tackled it initially, it was powerful and proud, protected by an energy field that Space Marine ordnance was powerless to penetrate. Now the projection vanes were wilting, the field they generated was out, and the ship suffered under the bombardment of the Space Marine fleet. Slowly, the craft began to fall towards Buruk's world. Zerberin smiled as fire like solar flames burst from the haphazard array of vents and exhaust ports around the engine stack, and it turned, presenting half its belly to his inspection. Explosions rippled from gun decks and fighter bays, catching the smaller craft fleeing it in their fires. In typical orcish fashion, the guns continued firing to the very last, but madly targeting nothing. The mindless biting of a wounded animal. The void sheeted white as the Mechanician Admiral's junkship exploded into a maelstrom of spinning debris, tortured by crackling green lightning. A weak shockwave of expanding gases tilted the Thunderhawk. The hull pinked and tinkled with 100 micro-impacts. When the view screen's image returned, in the flagship's place was a crowd of fizzing sparks that went out one by one. Burning wreckage hurtled away into the void or scorched fiery trails into the upper atmosphere of the planet. In moments, there was no sign the orc ship had ever existed. Zerberin remained in the Thunderhawk's cockpit as it crossed the void towards the Dantalion. The Orc fleet was well into the process of transformation into a debris field. With their admiral dead, the flotilla broke in all directions. Light storms flashed as the fleeing Orc ships were picked off one by one. Engine stacks blew into greasy, roiling balls of fire. A victory, but another costly one. The Guilliman moved sluggishly, half its engines lightless. The Excelsior was dead, her broken hull shining with short-lived fires and the departure thrusts of lifeboats. He called up the casualty lists in his faceplate from the task force newsphere. 29 dead brothers and thousands of serfs. He unfocused his eyes from the list, but left it scrolling across his view of the disintegrating Orc ships. A bleeping interrupted his thoughts.
First Captain, we have an incoming message from the surface, said Odrazar. Survivors?
Yes, my lord.
Zerberin stood taller.
Excellent news. Turn us about. We're in no danger now. Let us descend to the surface and see these people our blood has saved.
The Thunderhawks of the Iron Warriors and the Fists Exemplar landed together upon the shattered landing fields of Turos Port. Zerberin, Honorius, Reok, and five others stepped out into a landscape of utter devastation. The spaceport was in ruins, substantial terminal buildings and hangar spaces broken into untidy heaps of rubble. Beyond the rockcrete aprons, the vegetation was burned back to ash. Columns of smoke held up a sky of black clouds. The light of the sun was obscured, the horizon stained red and orange with the fires of burning cities. Against the odds, mankind had survived the Orcs there. A delegation of a dozen battered, dirty soldiers waited for the Space Marines when they walked down the assault ramp. They were streaked with soot and old blood, their uniforms tattered. Several were not soldiers, but civilian guerrillas bearing weapons of the dead. Their leader wore a necklace of large orcish teeth. In him, the light of defiance burned brightest.
"My lord," he said, and knelt with fearful reverence. "It is you who destroyed the Orc fleet?"
"It was. My brothers run the last few out of the system as we speak."
There were more figures 200 meters away, a small crowd watching nervously in the lee of a half-burned warehouse.
"Rise, do not kneel."
Zerberin looked around at the ruined landscape.
"You are this army's general?"
"Lieutenant, my lord. The generals are all dead."
"Look at me. What is your name?"
"Cadraig, my lord."
The man lifted his head. He looked Zerberin unflinchingly in the eye lenses, but remained kneeling. He was scared. Zerberin could practically taste his fear.
"I was an officer in a militia. You have saved us."
"You saved yourselves," said Zerberin. "How did you prevail?"
"We did not prevail. We were near defeat.
It is 3 months since the Orcs came, and we have been fighting all the while.
They took most of us. There are not so many of us left, but those that are alive still took an oath not to lay down our arms until we were all dead. We swore not to let a single other person be taken. We owe it all to Penderin. He raised our spirits when our will was broken. He roused us to fight back when the regiments of our defence force were crushed. At his command, we struck at them from hidden places. We bled their supply lines. We did what we could. It was not enough."
The man bowed his head.
"You have done more than most," said Zerberin. "Where is this Penderin? I would speak with him."
"He is dead, my lord."
"A shame, but you have done well. You are free now. Raise a monument to him, and be thankful."
Zerberin looked to Kalkator's craft. The warsmith had yet to emerge. An uneasy feeling passed through him.
"My lord, might I beg to ask a question of you?"
"Yes, by all means. You have earned my attention."
"Why were we left to fight alone? Not a single one of our requests for aid went answered. We had lost faith in the Emperor. We thought he had abandoned us until now."
"The galaxy burns," said Zerberin. "Your world is one of a thousand assailed."
He would have said more. The man's plight moved him.
For the first time in months, he saw a human being who had not lost his wits or thrown his lot in with the orcs or allowed himself to be made livestock, but who had fought bravely and nearly won. The ramp to Kalkator's Thunderhawk descended, hissing compressed gases. The lieutenant watched Kalkator as he approached over the pitted landing apron. The warsmith stamped down the ramp to stand next to Zerberin.
"Your prayers have been answered. We have come. But freedom does not come cheap."
"My lord," said Cadraig uneasily.
His eyes shifted from Kalkator to Zerberin and back again, the fear in them growing. With a sudden chill, Zerberin realized that Cadraig looked at him and Kalkator the same way. Fear and awe. There was no difference in his regard. And why should there be? Their metallic liveries were stained with soot and blood, and no markings clear to tell them apart. In Cadraig's eyes, they looked the same.
"Aid such as ours requires payment. Our fleets are battered, our supplies low," said Kalkator.
"Of course, my lord," said Cadraig. "You are welcome to rest here. We will give you what we can."
"You will give us everything," said Kalkator menacingly. "Food, water, munitions, all of it."
Cadraig got falteringly to his feet. The men behind him looked up uncertainly.
"We have so little. We shall starve."
"If you do not give us what we demand, we shall take it," said Kalkator. "Are there children among you?"
"My lord," said Cadraig in alarm, "we swore not to let any more of our people be taken."
One of Cadraig's men caressed the firing mechanism of his gun. Kalkator caught the tiny movement and turned to address him.
"I would not advise resistance. We will take 100 of your strongest boys now. We do you a great honour. We are not orcs. We shall not eat them, but raise them above the fragile state of base humanity. Your sons will be Legiones Astartes."
"Legiones," said Cadraig.
A dawning realization crossed his face. Weapons were raised.
"Who are you?"
he said suspiciously.
"We are members of the Fist's Exemplar chapter of Space Marines," said Zerberin.
He took a step forward.
"We are loyal servants of Terra."
"You are?
I am not."
Kalkator plucked his pistol from his belt. Cadraig's men raised their weapons fully. Kalkator trained his gun upon Cadraig. Servo motors whined in the cheeks of the Iron Warrior's Thunderhawk, bringing heavy bolter sponsons to bear.
100 youths," said Kalkator. "As much food as you can gather. Bring it here tomorrow morning, or we shall rain fire down upon this world that shall make your engagement with the orcs appear trivial. Now go!"
The last words he amplified to godlike levels, and the men flinched and turned and ran away. The crowd by the ruined terminal building looked on nervously. Rayok laughed dryly.
"Brother," Kalkator said to Zerberin. His use of the word had lost its ironic edge.
"Why?" said Zerberin. "Why do we have to take everything? They would have supplied us well without complaint."
"You know why," said Kalkator, holstering his pistol. "My great company is a fifth the size it was before this began. I have lost all my holdings. 3 worlds were mine to command, and now I have but one. A single further setback, and I shall be reduced to the status of a wandering beggar. I have lost most of my fleet, many of my machines. We are low on stores and munitions. I need recruits, I need food to feed them, or my brotherhood will die."
"There is no need. They would have given to you freely."
"Not everything. Now I get it all."
"You take their children. You are as good as killing them."
"I am not killing them. Shooting them would be killing them."
"What do you care, Zerberin?" said Kalkator, turning to look on the exemplar fully.
"The expression of disdain for common humanity has stamped itself into your face so deeply your own serfs have begun to fear you. How many have we reduced to livestock, or turned feral under the influence of the green roar? One pocket of defiance and your resolve crumbles." "When man is at his best, it puts us in our proper place," said Zerberin. "I was made to defend them. When I defend those who are worthy of my efforts, I see who I am. These people deserve our respect." "They have my respect," said Kalkator. "Humankind isn't often at its best. Not enough. You will come to understand that, if you have not already. Look at them, grovelling at the feet of the idols of a man who professed not to be a god, then allowed himself to be worshipped as one. We are saving them from the pernicious creed of the Emperor's lies.
If humanity is to survive, it must help itself. The Emperor is deaf to the pleas of his faithful, but there are other gods who answer prayers. Mankind will not endure as these feeble examples, but as legionaries. The people of this world have proved themselves fine warriors. We do them a great honour in taking them into our legions, brother.
I am not a legionary, said Zerbrin.
Are you sure? Said Kalkator slyly.
Your intention was to cleanse the systems around Imitus. Why have we come so far back into Imperial space?
You would prefer it if we didn't hunt orcs, Kalkator said. His voice, rich and sardonic, made Zerbrin's muscles tense.
Why are you so angry, brother? Do you think your loyalist brothers treat their charges any better?
Be thankful. If it were not for your moderating influence, we would have taken their children and killed them all. You reminded me that a little mercy can be useful. Some of those wretches may live. They fought well against the orcs, for mortals. Let them toil. Let the struggle to survive harden them further, and then let them raise new offspring. It will be worth our while revisiting this place in 50 years or so. Yes, a good result. This will be a fine recruiting world. Thank you, Zerbrin, for your wise counsel.
Kalkator strode back to his gunship, laughing. Zerbrin stared at the ragged crowd at the edge of the field. Some of the men from Cadreg's group were shouting and pointing. He considered going to them, calling his ships and having them blast the Palamedes from the sky. The Iron Warrior's ship was outnumbered, 4-1. The end would be quick. Numerous scenarios ran through his head. Victory would be assured, but survival would not be. He could not turn on Kalkator. Not until the beast was dead and the orcs driven back. Until that came to pass, he needed the Iron Warriors. It was as simple as that. This was the lesser evil. Teeth clenched, he turned on his heel and ascended the ramp of the Thunderhawk. Much as it made him seethe, Kalkator was right. The Fist's exemplar required supplies and recruits. Zerbarin had agreed to set them on this course of action. He had evaluated it, tested it, and decided it was the correct solution. There were orcs everywhere. Since that last desperate message from Euclideus of the Soul Drinkers, he had heard nothing more from the last wall. He had to work with what he had. For the time being, that meant Kalkator. A Fist's exemplar was never wrong.